But above all else, cause our wills to be surrendered to you, that we will not be merely hearers, but doers of your word. For this we ask with all praise and glory to your majestic and only name that can save. To you be all glory, honor, and power. For we ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, big one, huh?
Amen.
One more time, shall we?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. I'm just following what you did just now earlier, sir. Because just now they didn't do it very well the first time. And it was follow up. Don't be disqualified. Good title or not. You know, sometimes we are told that be positive. You know, this passage, I've preached it before many other times. But this is the first time I use this as a title, because at other times, I think the appropriate popular title is be a real winner. Win, win, win. It's all about winning. And I remember one very well-known pastor, some of you may have heard him, and how he was addressing some of these really charlatan preachers, prosperity gospel preachers and what have you. And it's all about winning. And he asked the question, win what? What is there to win? Jesus already won the victor's crown. We are privileged to now be given the honor to now having been enlisted to go forth and do his work. Perhaps a negative title can cause us to sit up. I remember years back in our school yearbook, in our school, I just say school, I don't name the name of my school. And that man who is a Christian leader a few years older than me in the Scout Fellowship that I really, really look as one good leader. And the title of his article in the yearbook was, I Hate My School. Actually, he said, I hate the name of my school, but I'm not telling you the name of the school. I hate my school. And then they say, next, got you right. I hate my school. Immediately he gets your attention, then you start to read. So the idea is just to hook you so that you get on to read. So don't be disqualified. Hopefully might be a flashing light at the same time as it is an invitation for you and me and all of us as a church if we are keeping the right course. You see, since we move into this place, and then from February onwards, when we come together as one big body of Christ, the messages, as I reflect on the titles and even the book, 1 Thessalonians, that we did for the month of February, I see all this as God's alignment and preparation for things to come. We are already 1 week into the last month of the first half of the year. Wow, sounds a mouthful, huh? Next week, after church camp, come back, the month is going to finish very fast. Half year has gone so fast. So many things has developed. So many new friends we have made. So many wonderful memories we have etched together. I'm talking about our makan, and bowling, and outing, and all this. Wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. Because here in the church context, hardly had time. You come in. Last week, I remember I was just saying, for those who came earlier, you know, there was a sign that said, as you come in, please make sure your mobile devices are switched off. Keep silent, prepare. And then suddenly quiet, you know, very good. Today, back to fish market. Why? Oh, because pastor, we don't have enough time to catch up. So come in, we must catch up. After church, you see, hardly had some time and then we are off again. But we're looking forward to our church camp. We thank God for the opportunities that we had together as a church when in more relaxed times and times that we can engage one another more deeply. And personally, I tell you, I've engaged with many people that I've not had all before engaged to the same extent. But I'm sharing all this because I think God has a purpose in the way He built His church. While on the one hand, individually we come to Jesus for salvation, but there is also a corporate dimension where He gathered together all those. Ecclesia is the gathering of the called out ones. We are called out individually. But the gathering is what church is. And this is where we come together to provoke one another to greater love and good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24-25. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. I'm using this as an introduction so that when we read this passage, and you know the book of 1 Corinthians is all about issues and problems, grave problems, not small little administrative things, discomforts with one another in relationships, serious problems were addressed, division, sexual immorality, and all kinds of other problems. And in the midst of all these things, Paul also speaks about his service to the Lord. God calls us to be Christians first. Then secondly, as we are called to be servants to serve, He does not put us in a nice air-conditioned, sanitized place so that we serve in our comfort. We serve in our convenience. I feel like it, I do. I don't feel like it, Pastor, sorry, find another person. I feel like contributing, I contribute. I don't feel like doing it, Pastor, find another one again. It's all about I, me, and myself, my comfort, my convenience, what commitments you require of me. But Paul tells us that in the midst of such a difficult church, he wasn't concerned about the problems in the church. He would address them, no doubt. But he was more mindful of his own spiritual life. That having preached the gospel, he does not become himself disqualified. I've given you the gist of the message already. But let's just look at these four verses very simply. In the context of, like I've said earlier, problems that were highlighted, that Paul could have just ignored and say, I'll go to a new place. This church problem for me. Let me find a new place. This church don't look very powerful or rich, you know. I'm just jesting. I'm not really rich. I find another one. He stayed his course. He fulfilled his ministry. He was concerned that he finished the race. So let's look at this text. Do you not know that in a race, and I thought I'll use the Amplified Bible because a lot of words in the New King James, which is the standard version I always use, I find that I have to add words in. And those words are actually in the Amplified Bible. So it might be just easier to just read from here. Paul says, do you not run? No. And this is just an illustration that in a race, all the runners run their very best to win, but only one receives the prize. Now, this is just talking about race in general, okay? It means there's a race, everybody does his best, tries to win, only one winner. Run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. So while the general description is of a race and that there is only one winner, individually, when you use the analogy of a race to our Christian faith, each one of us has to win our own prize. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Paul used race as an analogy and says there's only one winner. But I assure you, he's not saying that over here, when all of us are running, we have just one winner. Then we look around, I think this one will win. I think that one. No, it relates to every one of us, each one of us having your own race. Run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. You have a prize that is within your ability to win. You're not winning somebody else's prize. You're not winning an overall prize at the end of the journey, at the end of the race. Each one of us is in a race, and each one of us has a prize, has a goal to accomplish. Then he goes on to further mention what is important. Now, every athlete who goes into training and competes in the games is disciplined and exercises self-control in all things. They do it to win a crown that withers, a perishable crown, an earthly crown. But we do it to receive an imperishable crown that cannot wither. So from talking about the race and what you're aiming to win, he talks about what the wind is all about. Therefore, I do not run without a definite goal. I do not flail, you know, just flip up my hands like one beating the air, just shadow boxing. We have champion boxers here in our church, huh? At least there are two of them. Some of you smile, I think you know who I'm referring to. Really qualified champion boxers, okay? But they are not shadow boxing. But like a true boxer, I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I preach the gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified or be unfit for service. Have you thought of that, being unfit for service? You thought, well, service is volunteering, isn't it? I sign up, you should be very happy already, pastor, or Sunday school superintendent, or care group leader. But we can be found to be unfit. That actually, it is not us deciding your credentials and your admission, but that God himself reveals it, or we ourselves acknowledges that we have not been disciplined enough, we have not done what is necessary, we think it's a piece of cake lah, you know. I run a big corporation in the outside world. I run budgets like into the millions. You all try to keep it within a certain level so that no need to have external audit. What is all these things about? I do this so many other things. Big scale. This puny little church. Chicken feet. And yet it is here that it is the judgment, the verdict of God that is important. And which Paul recognizes, I can do so many things. I can write so many letters. I can be so bold that he was even criticized. Paul, look at him. When he writes, he is so bold. But when he came to speak to us, can't even speak properly. He got no aura. He should be disqualified. But you know, in 2 Timothy, he says, I have fought the good fight. I finished a course. I've kept the faith. And there is the crown of righteousness waiting for me. And not just me, but everyone who loves and are ready for his appearing. So I've summarized for you these last four verses of chapter 9, which is the summary of how Paul, having given us a sweep of what is happening or what was happening in the church of Corinth, and how he was assessing his ministry, his service. And instead of using that as a challenge to say, do this, do that, or whatever, or pointing fingers at others who have not performed as well, he says, I better watch myself. I better be very careful of myself. You know, I'm telling you honestly, I've never been more careful of myself. I'm not saying I'm not careful. I think many of you know I'm a very prudent person. I don't want to bite more than I can chew. I don't embark take steps that I think I shouldn't be, but I have sometimes. But I'm honestly sharing this from the heart. To me, that is a spiritual thermometer, if you like, or indicator. Are you comfortable with your Christian life? That's why earlier I mentioned about putting on the Christian cap, coming here, worshipping God. Simple. You give me any environment like this, I can do that. You go back to your office. Colleagues are non-believers. Some may be waiting to backstab you, always have eyes on you all the time. Can you still be the Christian that you should be? Not so much just for others to see or to be impressed with, but because you know God is looking at you all the time. And Paul knows all this. And he says, I'm so concerned. I have to be very careful that lest somehow, after preaching so much to so many people, went to so many countries. I thank God I've traveled to all in 13 countries, covering most of the continents. For ministry, I'm not talking about visitation or holiday. But Paul says, after all these things, so ready to receive that prize? Not yet. Make sure that you have not become disqualified. Amen? So, three thoughts in this passage, just as I feel that they are in the scripture. How not to be disqualified? First, recognize that your life, my life, is about a destiny. Not just a destination. Not this morning waking up and say, how to come to MTech? Come to church to attend, fulfill my Christian duties, pay my tithes, offerings, or I'll go back. Next week, come again. In the midweek of meetings, go attend, whatever. You're just running from one destination to another destination. We are moving from one task to another, and we are just plodding on, and we think we are doing the correct thing. We think that everything is well and fine. Paul says, no, I run in such a way that I want that prize. Make it my own, like I said to you. The first sentence is an illustration of running to win a prize. What moves on is to say, each one of us has our own individual race to run and prize to secure. Has to be. I mean, if after this, only one prize, and not necessarily pastor gets it, maybe pastor very low, then that'll be absurd. And then he says, others, look at them. Look at the worldly athletes. Look at the worldly people who are so passionate in their work, so convicted in what they are doing, that they are naturally passionate. They believe what they are doing is important. And hopefully they are. Very legitimate things. A doctor who wants to really go and save as many as he can. A teacher who wants to be the best educator, very passionate, very good. But if these are just ends in themselves that these people strive to do, they are just perishable, earthly crowns that will be won. And you win it. But we have an eternal crown that will not wither. You know, occasionally in my course of preaching, I see when it's quite relevant to help us do this focus in the way we live our life and serve the Lord. Always remember that preacher, I think Elder Bansing knows him very well also. And what did he say? Blessed is he who blows his own trumpet, because no one else is going to blow it for him. Hey, laugh, la. Come on, your pastor is not such a bad joke teller. You're kuli kuli siya la. Blessed is he who blows his own trumpet, because no one else will blow it from him. It's just a deliberate twist of words from the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek in spirit, for theirs, their inheritance is the kingdom of God. But this preacher was trying to say, don't blow your own trumpet. Or like Jesus would say, you do good works, you want to claim credit, your reward is already given. No more up there. I come up with a new phrase. Recently, I shared with some ones, and I think some of you told me it's quite good. Don't try to claim credit. Pastor will credit your claim. Power not, eh? Better, right? I always say, don't blow your own trumpet. Let me blow for you. You blow, you only got one reward, and taken ready. Sign, receive, that's the end. But the eternal one. That's another observation I found. Personally, in my own life, I'm not careful. Satan is very good in using these things to cause us to compare, to covet, to challenge one another. I want to claim credit. I know, I do this. Say something before I finish a sentence, blah, 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 blah. Trying to claim credit. Maybe now, when you're reaching 70, like my sister say, you don't care anything already. Sorry, I care a lot. That's just saying in jest. Don't claim your own. I tell honestly, I will blow your trumpet. In fact, I will tell you that there's a brother that I appreciate very much who actually said it once. And something to the effect, he said, pastor do a lot of background work. And after this, ready goes to the person who presents, who is seen like as if the person has woke up. no issue for me. Cannot be after all these years, right? So don't try to claim credit, okay? This pastor here assures you, I will credit your claim. I will tell God, please put it in your ledger, eternal ledger. Because there is a real price that we are looking forward to. Paul, Philippians chapter 3, you know what is the context? I count all things but loss. He boasts about his race. He boasts about his religion. He boasts about his reputation. He boasts about his righteousness. These are the four R's. Go check it out. He says, I can boast in all these areas. None of you can even come close. But I count them as dung. The word is actually dung. D-U-N-G. I consider it as rubbish. I'm prepared to give them all up. No need to show people my degrees, my certificates. Tell them what I do. Blow my own trumpet. For the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering. You see, this is one part that I always say people conveniently don't read. Paul can do that because he understands what the power of the resurrection of God is in our lives. The miraculous works of God that He can do in your life and my life when He chooses to, when He indeed wants to do so. But what about the fellowship of His sufferings? Jesus could not have resurrected unless He has first died. And resurrection is not resuscitation. It's not coming back from life. It's completely paying what is required by the justice of God, by the wrath of God. Sin payment. That only the Lamb of God, Jesus, has done for us. And now He becomes our goal. I press toward the goal for the price of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So the first point is, win your prize. There is a prize. When Dr. Poulsen came to our church, and that was, I think, a very privileged in a sense, this church, for him to come and do a series on end times. And I saw his, and we had it all taped 4 weeks in a row. And one of his titles is, towards the end, Prize Giving Day. Oh, I look, I say, well, Poulsen, I look at you as some spiritual giant, some very profound thinking theologian and teacher. Surely you come up with a title there. So on. Prize Giving. So simple. No need to complicate. There's a prize giving. Paul says, there is now the crown of righteousness waiting for me, and not only me, but all who love His appearing, and therefore mean it, all who are ready for His appearing. This prize is that goal, the upward call of God in your life. You have been responding to all kinds of other calls. Calls from the wilderness, calls from the family, calls from friends, calls from relatives, calls from the church, calls from everywhere. Until you're confused, hear so many things. And you've never heard that call from upward. Why don't you just pause for a moment, all of us? Close your eyes. When would you say was the last time? I don't know how to put it else. How else? That you think you have heard the call of God. You have heard a voice of God from upward. Not suggestions of men. Not even so-called counsel that you attribute to a person. But something that you say is so personal. And one more thing maybe I can suggest to you. Oftentimes it's in our desperation, not in our times of good fun and everything is going fine. In our desperation, our despair, that we are more sensitive to the voice of God. Why? Because we need Him. We need Him. Lord, lay that call on us. The upward call of God, that is the price, the goal, that we press toward. While we may be pressing on for so many other things in our lives, securing a good education, landing a good job, running a successful, profitable business, maybe even doing a lot of good works. And yet, we don't know what you're talking to us, what you're saying to my heart, what is important. Seal this prayer, we pray, O Lord, in our hearts, and unto your purposes, and to your glory. Amen. The second point is definitely clear, that not only do we have a destiny, there is this process that we run, and it is a process, a run, that calls for discipline. I've given you the verses that are relevant. I don't want to read it again, but you know what it's going all about in terms of your training, how you exercise yourself, how you are a boxer, you don't do shadow boxing, wasting your time. But you strictly discipline my body. In more of the more theological versions of the Bible, is I buffet my body. Not buffet, huh? Don't think of your makan too much. Huh? Buffet here, buffet there. Buffet. Buffet is to subject it to very intense control. No slightest mistake. Are we prepared now? The moment you are in your comfort zone and you step a little bit out, you feel the difference, you shrink back. I go back. Your comfort zone. Now it's the other way around. You are so strict with yourself that you don't let your step go out where you know that's not where I need and that's not where I should be. I come back. It has to do with our perseverance. Destiny, the price that you look to, discipline is I persevere, I press on. Destiny is an eternal price. Discipline is about enduring perseverance. You give up too easily, you know that you have not been disciplined enough. When you select people for a sports team or whatever else that you are wanting to do, don't you look for this? People with discipline, people with good attitude, people who will subject themselves, if necessary, to hardship so that they stay the course and not back out the moment they are not comfortable. We do this in our secular estimation of people and hopefully ourselves, right? But come to the spiritual. This one, volunteers work. This one, Sunday only. They have many hats, right? Many caps at home, right? A Christian cap is only for Sunday. Other days, wear your beautiful set hats, go to the beach, have a good time or whatever. Are we disciplined enough? And I feel that this is important because, and especially as a church, when we are, as I believe where we are now, on the verge of embarking into a new direction. We know that this place, colleagues, I went through. I've shared this, you know. This place probably can't hold us for too long. Ask a property agent when a place was perhaps offered and price given. I asked a question. Is it fair? I didn't mean fair by means of just the price. He's a Christian. I said, given the Singapore context, if you're going to spend this amount of money, should this be what we are looking for? You tick off all the other options. Now no more tender ballot. Do you want ballot land, build a building? I think not so. Be very expensive. But in the first place, getting that ballot is not easy. You want buy a private property, change of use, whether it's a shop house or a landed property, perhaps even more difficult. Because government has come up with B2. These are light industries for churches. And this seems to be the trend. To me, mine has to take place to decide. You know, I discipline myself. Maybe this is the way to go. Then the next question is this the price you want to pay? Let me suggest to you something, but don't find it too shocking, okay? But I think through many things, really. What if we run a church like some churches I know are doing, like house churches? Do we have to have a church model where we say this is church, children's ministry, youth ministry, young adults, slightly older but not so old adults, then the older ones, whatever. That's what we are organized now. What if we don't need all these things? Then why do we need all these things? Also, there's a sense of belonging. There's a place for fellowship. But is this what the church is? And I came across a clip that I like very much. The church of the Bible. We always like to talk about New Testament church. Church of Corinth. Church of Ephesus. Church of Philippi. Seven churches. We did a conference in Turkey. I was one of those who gave a paper. And together at a conference was a tour of the seven churches. I went through all the seven churches. Double quick, because Pastor Daniel was with me, by the way. We didn't have the time. We were proud. You don't see those churches anymore. Let's be the New Testament church. Let's be like this church, that church. You don't want to be like the church of Corinth. You surely don't want to be. But more importantly, there are no more there. I will build my church. It's a spiritual gift. But don't stretch over to the other extreme and say nothing is important. Discernment, understanding, unity, agreement is important. My point is, if these are the options that we have, and if this is a cost we have to pay, question then is it good? Or do we settle people with a financial albatross? Albatross is like a burden on you. To me, it's very simple. I've gone through two church building projects. I know what it means. Thankful that both in the first one, before I came out, we settled it. Second one, we more than settled before we got kicked out. Where do we stand now? So church, brothers, sisters, I'm excited about what prospects lay ahead for us. But even more prayerful that how we move towards our destiny and we are spiritually disciplined. Final thought, that's where the danger is. Beware of being disqualified. Paul says, I strictly discipline my body, make it my slave, I buffer it, so that after I preach the gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified or be unfit for service. He's talking about the pitfall to ministry. And you can be sure that there are many pitfalls. There are many pits. Some pits, huh, we dig ourselves, let's be honest. We dig ourselves, we fall into it and say, God, help me. How are you going to create your own problem? And then want to thank God, praise God for helping you out. Don't create a pit in the first place. There are pits that men will put in our paths to stumble us. And there certainly will be spiritual pitfalls that Satan would love to see any of God's child to fall into. Do we discipline ourselves because we know possibility of disqualification is there? Now be very clear. This passage is not about your salvation, that you lose your salvation. It's about your service. You lose your reward, you lose your usefulness. In the household, there are many kinds of utensils. Paul writes right in first, some for honor, some for dishonor. You decide what kind of a utensil, what kind of a crockery you want to be, whether you be of honorable use or of not honorable use. So today's message, I feel, was timely. Next week, you're going for camp already. Over the last 4 months or so, we have covered. You know, I encourage you, even if you don't have to revisit the sermons, I'm not asking you to revisit the titles, would you? And even revisit the titles that were interspersed when our elders, Pastor Daniel, Joel, came. I find the topics were just so complementary. They connect. And I'm encouraged by that. I'm thankful. If this is not how the church is and how it should be going, I'll tell you, I'll be the first to say, God, enough. I think I've done more than my national service. I can take a break. But we are on an exciting path. There are wonderful things ahead. But not just because for the excitement, for the adventure, for the challenge of doing something that we can look back and boast about. No. But for the church that Jesus says, I will build, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for today, yet another Holy Communion Sunday that we can come and remember your sacrifice for our sake. That in remembrance, Lord, we recognize truly how great that measure of love that the Father has for us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That we have all sinned, fallen short of your glory. And that the penalty wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So prepare us now, Lord, as we partake the Holy Communion. The Father, we pray that you prepare us and you will help us. That as we partake of this Holy Communion, we take this time truly to remember you and to continue to ready ourselves for your return and for your use. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together, shall we? And I ask the worship team to come. Stuart has chosen a good song, My Eyes Are Dry. Quite familiar, but according to him, was a super hit decades ago, right?
30 years ago.
But I think you like the words of the song. Why are we singing this song? Because the words are well crafted. And let's sing prayerfully as we prepare our hearts for the communion to follow. So, over to you.
Yeah.
Pastor cannot tell joke. Pastor cannot sing.
If you can remember, if you live long enough, I think you can remember this song. Yeah. If you are still young, this is a new song to you. Okay. Please sing it with your heart. Okay. My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how ought to be alive to you and dead to me. What can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The the Spirit of love, please wash me anew in the wine of your blood.
I think some of you rekindle already. One more time.
My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me. What can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with
Wash me anew in the white of your blood.
Would you just reflect on the words that we just sung? Are our eyes dry because we don't feel anymore? No more tears. No more tears of conviction of sin. No more tears of compassion for the cause of the gospel. No more tears because tears of love have all dried up. Are our hearts gotten hard? No more feelings. Not sensitive at all anymore. Not interested. And our prayer is cold. Ritualistic. Just going through the motion. Just blowing out air, really, from the mouth. Now the song says, Lord, renew. Renew this old heart. Revive the cold prayers that we've offered you. And bring tears of joy and thanksgiving as we remember what you've done for us. I think this is one facet dimension of the Holy Communion that we understand why we are told that as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we have to remember Jesus. The Holy Communion is not a spiritual medicine. It's not a spiritual antidote. I fear that I'm still seeing this where people say, I take Holy Communion 3 times a day. I even anoint things I bought with the cup that represents the blood of Jesus. All kinds of things that you know are going to be so frivolously, freely, and blatantly shed. It's not lack of knowledge, lack of data. It's the need for discernment. The Spirit of God to really come true upon our hearts. So Father, we pray you bless the bread and the cup like Jesus did, asking for your spiritual heavenly anointing, that we do not partake of this and do this as a form of ritual or a rite, but it's all for remembrance of who you are and what you have done for us. And that you are coming back. That this world is not our home. Our lives are not our own. Everything belongs to you. And to you, we shall one day return. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Let's eat this bread and then drink the cup. God bless you. Please be seated. Before I hand the time over to Ansley, right? Yeah. Let me just welcome Joan. Joan, we'd like to just welcome you for coming today to join us. We've not seen for a while. Yeah. Mohan, you're here first time, right? Or you've been here before? Never mind. Stand up. We want to welcome you because I know it's not easy for you to come and I notice. Okay. Okay. Ansley. Sorry, let me just preempt something from Ansley. Later when, like you know, every first Sunday we have a prayer for those born in the month of June. There are 2 persons whose birthdays, as far as I know, fall actually today. Justin, right? Okay. Don't reveal your age, lah, huh? Just say only. Huh? Okay. Tony is celebrating his 70th birthday today. Ah, that one must make noise. Make noise, okay, Tony. God bless you. Thank you, Tony. Yeah.
Good morning, church. I would like to thank Pastor Neo for guiding us today in today's service, especially the three Ds, destiny, discipline, and disqualification. Now I'll go into the announcements. So the first one would be, okay, so the coming Sunday, which is 14 June, there's no service over here. That's because most of us will be at the church camp, which we'll be going for on Friday. So remember, no service over here on Sunday, 14 June. Next one. Watch 1 hour next week. The coming Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30 on Zoom. The prayer team will be Sister Sun Lee, Shana, Sister Shimin, Sister Ethel, Sister Whaley, and Brother Jerome. So if you do have any prayer requests, there's a URL that you can use to submit them, or you could just speak to the prayer team if required. Okay, next one. Financial giving, we will remember the two principles and three patterns as we give. And with that, I would like to ask the ushers to come up and Brother Mason to lead us in prayer.
All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go around to collect the offering and the tithes, Lord, we pray and ask that you bless every cheerful giver in house of prayer, Lord, and also that when we collect and when we also give, Lord, we give according to your will and your glory and also to your kingdom, Father. Lord, may you bless each and everyone here, Lord, as we go and collect the offering, and that may your kingdom grow to the fullest and to the highest, Lord. With that, we give thanks to you and ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And if you prefer the e-way of giving, the bank account details and the QR code is on the screen. Next slide, please. Okay, the birthday prayer. So those born in June, if you would please stand up one more time for Justin and Uncle Tony. Please stand up so that we can all take a look at you. Anyone else? Oh, wow, okay. Oh, yeah, so we have Auntie Charlene, Justin, Uncle Tony. Oh, yeah. Uncle Jeffrey and Auntie Magdalene. Yes, that's right. Okay, so please remember their names and their faces. During the closing prayer, I will say a prayer for them as well. Yeah, thank you. All right, you may be seated. Thank you. Okay, next one. Okay, so before we go into the closing song and the closing prayer, I just have a few announcements regarding the church camp. I had a thought of whether to do it as a briefing after service or just do it during the announcements. And since I don't have a lot of things to announce, I just thought I'd do it now. And then you all don't need to come back after service and you all will have more time for catch up later on. Yeah, outside. Okay, so I'll just go through the announcements really quickly. And then we'll do the closing song and the closing prayer. Okay, so first thing would be on 12th of June, 11:45 a.m. is our reporting time. Please come to the Harbourfront Ferry Terminal and we will see you over there, 11:45 a.m. because you have to collect your boarding passes before going onto the ferry. Now, regarding the trip there, we have appointed some ferry and bus commanders. They won't be driving the bus or steering the ferry, not that sort of commanders. But because we have a really big group, we need to have certain people who, you know, sort of get everyone onto the ferry and then get everyone onto the bus and keep count and keep track of everyone so that no one gets lost. So we have four ferry and bus commanders on the 12th of June, which would be Uncle Stuart, Uncle Frankie, who is not here today, no, or is outside, okay, no problem. And then we have Yvonne, who is also outside, and we have Uncle Patrick, who is seated at the back there. So how this will work is, before we go on the church camp, we will share a bus list of, you know, which sort of bus you go into, and then you will have ferry and bus commanders for those two lists. We are thinking of two lists. So the list will go onto the WhatsApp group before the church camp, so you all can take a look at which bus you are in, who's your ferry and bus commander, and who you are seated with on that bus as well. Okay. For the next day, which is the shopping trip, the sightseeing and the shopping trip, which we've confirmed as we are going to the Barelang Bridge, click pictures, and then go to Grand Batam Mall for shopping. We will have the same bus and ferry commanders, and we will also have Justin, who will be helping out on that day as well. So thank you very much to the ferry and bus commanders who will be helping out for this camp. Okay. As I've announced on the WhatsApp group, we have a musical performance on the 13th of June at 11 a.m. The details are in that message that I sent to you, but just to share a very brief sharing about it. It will be some kids from an orphanage over there who have very kindly agreed to do a musical performance for us, so I'm sure that will be a very exciting performance to see. Likewise, as announced on the group, there's going to be morning stretch sessions for everyone to join. If you all are keen to stretch in the morning before the morning session starts, we start at 7:30 a.m. on 13 June and 14 June. And it's free for all. Just wear comfortable clothing and come. And then you can stretch for 10 minutes and then go for breakfast if you want. Or have breakfast and then come for the stretch. And then we will start the morning session. Just to take note, on 14 June, the dinner is a Chinese set dinner. Okay, so mostly our meals there are buffet, except for the 14 June dinner. Yeah, so it's a Chinese set menu. It's a sit down one. We have the menu which I will be sharing on the group before we go on camp. Now, the important thing about that is it starts at 6:15 p.m. and finishes at 8 p.m. Now, because it's a sit-down dinner, we are requesting everyone to be on time and not to be late so that you don't miss any of the courses that are being served during the course of the meal. If you have any food allergies or dietary restrictions, please contact Shana or Auntie Perlin to let them know within this week. Yeah, if you all have any restrictions or any allergies. Okay, I just have two or three more to go, so I'll do it quickly. Group insurance for everyone, okay, going on the camp, is a basic form of insurance that does not cover any pre-existing conditions. Okay, so if you require a travel insurance that covers your pre-existing conditions, please add on a separate travel insurance yourself, and you may purchase it yourself separately before you go on the trip. Okay, so if you require that, please do so before you travel, as in before you enter Indonesia. A reminder to all of you to do your All Indonesia app QR code, as I announced during my briefing last month. Please ensure you do this 3 days before your date of arrival. I would prefer that you do not do this when you go to Batam, when you arrive in Batam. Do it beforehand, just in case we have data issues or internet issues, just do it before we go to Batam, yeah? Okay, so I was carrying this today. Okay, this is the booklet that we will be using for the church camp. It will be distributed to you all on the first day. We do not distribute this beforehand so that no one forgets it before going to the church camp. So booklets will be given to you all on the first day of the camp. It was done by Sister Vailey. She worked on this booklet over the course of the past 3 weeks. And then we printed it out on the 2nd of June. Yeah, that's when we did the printing. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so thank you to Sister Vailey, who is level 2 or 3. There's 2 levels. Okay, thanks for raising that, Auntie Pam. Let me take this back, and then I will put the meeting point on the WhatsApp group. Yeah, so it's for everyone to... Level 2, is it? Okay, so Uncle Byron confirmed it will be level 2. But not to worry, I will put it on the group as well, so there's no issue there. Okay, the last one. Okay, last one, and then that would be the announcements for the camp. Regarding the spa, okay, the massages that some of you all have signed up for, the confirmed booking list with names and timings will be shared on the camp WhatsApp group for your reference within this week. And please note that the hotel has confirmed that for the $30 special price 1 hour massage is specific to the Balinese or the Javanese massage from the spa menu, which was shared on the camp group. Other massages are available for your selection at a 20% discount from the original rate for that particular massage. Okay, so just take note of that. The 1 hour massage is specific to the Balinese and the Javanese massage. Okay, that's it for my announcements. Thank you all for paying attention. We will now go into the closing song, which Brother Stuart has chosen a very apt song, I would say. As we go, or as you go, very apt for our upcoming camp, since we are going to Batam. I think it's a very excellent choice of song, closing song for today. So please rise, everyone, as we take the closing song.
Maybe all you can start clapping. Ready?
As you go, may you know the love of Christ. How deep and long, how high and wide. As you live, may you seek to win the prize and find His death to be your life. May you go in the love of your Father God. May you go in the grace of Christ. May you go in the power of the Spirit now to bring Him glory with your life.
Ready?
As you go, may you know the power of grace, His very strength for what's to come. As you live, may you feel His mighty hand guiding your steps in the race you run. May you go in the love of the Father God. May you go in the grace of Christ. May you go in the power of the Spirit now to bring Him glory with your life.
One more time, may you go.
May you go in the love of your Father God. May you go in the grace of Christ. May you go in the power of the Spirit now to bring Him glory with your life.
May you go in the love of the Father God. Church, let's pray. Dear Father, we pray for your blessings upon all of us here and on Zoom. We pray that the upcoming week and the month will be fruitful in a way that you approve of. Help us remember that everything we do in this coming week should be done in a way that will praise your name. We pray that you bless us to be strong and not be swayed away from trusting in your love for us. Guide us in a way that we are shown that worldly security is only temporary, but your love for us is forever. We pray for your blessings on our upcoming church camp. We pray that it will be a blessed experience for all of us as we grow closer to you and closer to one another. For our church members born in the month of June, we pray that you bless them today. Bless them so that they may prosper. Bless them so that they may grow close to you. And bless them so that they may achieve all that they want to achieve in the coming year. We pray that you grant them abundant blessings as they celebrate their birthdays within this month. And before we leave from church today, we seek Journey Mercy for all of us on our travels back home. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, before you go, church, just two more announcements regarding the camp, which I forgot to do earlier. Okay, on the first day, 12th of June, when we assemble at Harbourfront, make sure you get your lunch before you go on the ferry, because there's no lunch at the hotel, but there's a lot of eating points at Harbourfront or Vivo. So you may need to go earlier if you want to grab lunch over there. And one more announcement. During